them to our dinner tomorrow evening and we can just chat to them informally, so it's not a big inquisition session, but if that's possible to invite them.
So I'll check
around.
Yeah, I'll check their schedules and let them know if you guys want an update on any new activities.
Yeah,
get back to you.
Yeah, and
when they're available.
Hello, everybody. It seems a bit... Hello. Not sure it's going to be the most fabulous spectator sport in the world, but you're very welcome to. Do you think... Would it disturb your mojo if we all moved a bit closer together so that we don't have to be on... Actually, I've just been told we're recording, so we need the mics, but we can still sit closer together. Everybody, well, let's settle down. If you can bear to move closer, I think that's great. We have to be on mic because we're being recorded, so I don't mean to add extra formality for that. This session is on purpose quite unstructured because we're not here in full as a team. People have either arrived after all-night flights or they're arriving through the course of today. However, I think that what we can do is to think about our goals for this ICANN meeting and to see whether amongst the people who are here we've got some areas of the report that we could usefully work on in small teams face-to-face and whether there's any progress that we can make on drafting. And just to introduce you, Alice has very kindly produced a map of where we got to in Marina Del Rey on our recommendations. And it's colour-coded for ease. So the green ones are where we're pretty comfortable and we think we've reached agreement. The yellow ones are further work needed. And I think that this is probably a good place for us to be starting as we're working through our work this time. But maybe as there's relatively few of us here, perhaps I can just ask, you know, Bill, Wilfried, Lutz, Seth, whether what you'd like to, you know, if we're here on Monday evening, what do you want to have achieved and what do you think we can realistically achieve at these meetings?
Wilfried, it looked like you wanted to start. Or was that just a friendly face?
That's okay. I can try to start. I have to admit for the opening that I didn't get more than 50% of your stuff because of the distance. That was the reason why I was moving closer to the source. No, that's probably going to be pretty unstructured. What I would like to do is to join in with the editors of some of the chapters because I had the opportunity while waiting for a flight to read through all of the text. And so I've accumulated a couple of comments or questions, and I think it would be maybe helpful to team up with the individual editors of these chapters and try to find out whether there is substance to that. Secondly, I would like to use this dedicated time to finalize the IDN explanation thingy, because we being the Russian colleague and Sarmat, sort of, we still have that on our plate. I did not get around to do it till now, but this is the time where it has to be done, and that's the opportunity because there is dedicated time for that. Other than that, I don't have any sort of point of view or any suggestion or any request. I'll go with the flow.
Thank you. Does anybody else want to make a contribution? Seth? Lutz? Bill?
As we discussed earlier, I think the idea of trying to finalize our recommendations by Monday and appointing editors that that are willing and that have the confidence of the group. I mean, those weren't my ideas, but I like them.
Thank you. Lutz?
Technically illiterate, sorry. I'd like to go through some technical aspects of the current report this way, in order to find some nitpicks and correct them, make it a little bit straightforward, and have a common argumentation that we can use for how DNS is working or who is this working, so that we do not have to switch between two different argumentation roles, simply to simplify the document on technical issues.
Okay, Lutz, is that going to be? Is that throughout the whole document? Is there any area in particular?
Mainly the first paragraphs, the first chapters, where some definitions are introduced. Believe that's possible to streamline then a little bit and make it more clear what happens on the technical side, what happens on the political side. They are very similar, and so should reflect in the document that they are similar.
Okay. Do you have any other... you'd like to review some of the technical accuracy of the early chapters. Are there any other...
Only to correct a few phrases.
Yeah. And any other objectives for this time together in Dakar?
No. I'm in most part, I'm conforming with the document. I'd like to have an annex, a non-formal annex on how special implementations of WHOIS will influence the goals from the from the various stakeholders, from the visuals, how can the different technical approach fulfill the needs of special parties. But I think it's not possible to get such a document as a WHOIS team document, so I'd like to prefer it as an informal annex.
I'm seeing quizzical looks. Anybody want to respond?
Yeah, this is Bill Smith. I'm not sure what you mean by an informal annex that would be added to our report.
Should not. So the word informal means it should not be included in the report. I personally like to write down the different what the different approaches might come out in the future if one of the proposals in the draft are made down. What will be the result in the next few years for the different interest groups if a special proposal is taken and implemented in a full strict way. Just maybe more for me than for others. I have to see what will come out. We have a lot of interest groups here, and we have a lot of interest from the law enforcement, from intellectual property people, from the privacy information, and we have a lot of approaches what can be done in technical issues, but I do not see a short document referring if we are going this way, following things will happen, so the or how can the different groups fulfill their needs, what will the consequence for them. I do not see such a document at the moment, a short one which makes an overview. But I don't think that's a document for the whole group. Well, for instance, if we are removing who is altogether, what will happen? Services. If we are removing who is services altogether, what will happen? How can law enforcement get the information they need? Or if we have a full featured who is, which is accurate in every position, what will happen to the registrars? What have they to do? What will happen to the people who wants to register a domain name?
The answer is we don't know the answer to any of those things.
Yes, because we do not know this, we cannot make a formal document. And because it's a forecast, this can't be a document of a review team.
Lux, is this something you can do an outline of? So
I just want to make an outline, yeah.
Because then maybe it's easier for us to understand how it might integrate.
I, on the surface of it, just hearing that this is future looking, that's out of scope.
I started this and put it on the Whois team on the Whois website. But it was only a very small one. I want to extend it, that we have an overview of what will happen if we go in the special direction. I fear that a common document will come out with recommendations which contradict each other. That on one place we are going to say we need, for instance, law enforcement's correct information. On the other hand, we have the requirement that say we do not are allowed to collect it. And I don't think that there is a solution at the moment, and there will not be a solution at the moment. But in German we have the word Technikfolgenabschätzung. What happens if a special technology get introduced to the final end? To the political, to technical, to personal areas. I think it's necessary to have such a document, but I believe it's not possible to have such a document from the Whois review team because it's not part of the review.
I think your thought, Lutz, that we need to think through the future of our recommendations if
yes,
they are
of course.
Passed.
Yes, of course, but we are not allowed to make a prediction on it because it's not in the scope of our duty.
I think if I can just sort of level set about what we have agreed so far, which is that we have a scope that we agreed back in January, which is very closely tied to the affirmation of commitments. Amongst ourselves, we felt that a priority is to get a set of recommendations that we can each and every one of us endorse. And that's going to be a challenge, and it might mean that we can't go as far as we would like to go on some aspects, but nevertheless, that is the challenge we've set ourselves. And I think with that in mind, the idea of, obviously each individual is free to publish whatever they like to do in relation to Whois, but it can't be a product of the Whois review team unless it is endorsed by the whole review team. And I would suggest as well that to embark on a new area of work this late in the review team's process, when we have a draft report, an outline which we've negotiated over months, is going to be a challenge, and I think that that's going to be a case that you're going to have to argue when the full team is here about their openness to doing that. But I see that there are people in the room who've joined us, and also Michael, you're on the bridge, are you? Can we hear Michael? No. in part.
Room,
well, Michael, if you can hear us, welcome through the Adobe room, and we look forward to your participation. But just that there are people in the room, so I just wanted to give an informal update of where we are. We have a draft report which is has been sort of put together on the private wiki. It's been the subject of discussions at a meeting last month. During our meeting in Marina Del Rey last month, we started to work in detail on our draft recommendations, and we have produced here, there's copies if people in the room want it, a sort of where we are with them. I don't think that that's giving any secrets away, because anybody who wanted to tune in to our last meeting would have all of that information in any event. The green, the ones marked in green are agreed. The yellow ones are still to be agreed, but we're sort of kind of all agreeing that there is something there that we need to tease out. We've just had a little tour de table and asked people what their expectations for our time together in Dakar are. We agreed last month that our priority should be to finalise the report and have it published by the end of November, which was the target we originally set ourselves a year ago. We're still on track for that, but we felt that it would be too much to hope to have a draft report published in advance of this meeting sufficient to be able to consult. And so our plan is to continue to use these days together to iron out all of the contentious issues, piece of cake, and then have the report published by the end of November and do the outreach and get reactions and introduce it to the community at the next ICANN meeting. So that's where we're at. Wilfried, you've mentioned that you've actually had the opportunity to be to go right through the draft report. Has anybody else managed to do that? Would people appreciate a bit of time to just do some reading? I want to know how you would like to structure the day today that's going to be of most benefit so that we can hit the ground running.
May I come back to one of those things? The sort of most of the stuff that I have identified is probably non-contentious and just editorial or moving things around. The thing that really made me trip was the chapter on identification and inventory of ICANN's implementation. And that's not because I think... That's not because I think that this chapter is broken, but I had the luck to read it sort of like an outsider, and the references to the statistical data do not sound convincing or complete. So I'd really ask all the people who on the team who have a faint interest in that aspect to read that chapter. And then either to come back to me and tell me that I'm completely off track, which is fine, or there is a little bit of more work to do with that. And the sort of the fundamental thing that I did not get from this piece of text was how to interpret the numbers that are used in this, like so many thousand complaints and so many whatever. But I didn't find any indication about like the distribution of the complaints. You should draw a different conclusion by looking at the figures if you get a total of 30,000 complaints and 95% are by one individual or from one source, as opposed to having sort of a broad base of people contributing to that number. And there are a couple of those things which I felt need a little bit more either explanation or a little bit more flesh on the bones, like this is really how it is. Like this is the percentage distribution across the number of complainants or whatever. So if anyone has any interest in that aspect, I would ask you to please read up on this chapter and either sort of agree with me that we should try to brush it up and maybe even even go back to Denise or whoever can provide us with the raw figures. That was the most striking thing when I read the whole stuff. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Well, Wilfred, maybe you could attack that. In other words, take charge of.
I might be able to help a bit on this because I think way back in June or July, I was the author of that text. And the information is really very much an action replay of the information that was given to us in January by the compliance team. Now, like you, I read the report from start to finish in preparation for this meeting. And I think that there are various problematic aspects of that chapter. Looking at it now, with the analysis that Peter has drafted afterwards, there's a lot of duplication. And also a sort of a plunging into a level of detail, which I think is probably going to be inappropriate for this. And so I would suggest that a lot of the detail could probably be referred to in an annex and taken out of that, because it would just... I would like the report to... We've got the benefit. I think, Bill, you did an excellent job on the executive summary, and I've had a lot of very positive feedback on it from other people as well. I think that gives us a template that we should try to continue through, of a flow that will take the reader through the logic and explain where we're coming from without actually just overburdening with a load of detail. We've done a lot of work, but probably this is the time to throw a lot of it away if it's not going to make the cut. So thank you very much. That's actually the first substantive feedback I've had on that chapter. I agree with you, and I'm very pleased to have it. Are we all talked out? Do we want to... I wanted to set us up in the best way for tomorrow, and it might well be that we can just sort of sit quietly side by side and go, you've got a printout of the whole thing, I do as well, and just go, what did you think about this section? What did you think about that section? It might be a workable thing to do. You want to do some drafting with Sarmad. I saw him this morning. He's going to be around. He's aiming to get us a draft by the end of the day. I'm not sure whether he's attending today or not, because he'll also have been travelling. Suggestions, please?
Well, so I think generally the suggestion that we work on the recommendations, either today but certainly tomorrow, that we leave here and try and have an agreed set of recommendations is the most important thing. I don't know if there's anything we can do today on that. The other option is for us to potentially do some wordsmithing on pieces of the document. I guess my only concern with that, if we start too early, is if other members who are present have anything substantive in sections that we might work on, that they would feel disenfranchised if we do it without them. But
I think that the one suggestion I'd make is that we made very good progress on the recommendations relating to data accuracy the last time we met, but we all sense that with the other major sort of area, proxy privacy, while we all agree that there's a problem, we're not yet agreed on what the solution is. Now, I take your point, Bill. We are a small group today. I don't think that it's going to be appropriate or really save any time if we start wordsmithing the recommendations. But what we might be able to do is just sort of slightly... has anybody had any thinking that they can share on the issue of proxy privacy, and maybe any ways through for us that we should be considering that we could just sort of socialise now and think about?
I think it might be useful to socialise about the topic because in a larger group, it's a difficult topic to discuss in a large group, and so maybe in the small group we can see if there's avenues that we might think would be more fruitful to pursue. I'd be curious to see what our small group thinks would you know, would be the fruitful areas. And so I would endorse that.
Okay. I'm taking that as you volunteering to share what you would... Have you had any thoughts
I've
about
had thoughts,
proxy?
But I don't know what the
do you,
structure
do you
is.
Feel ready to share them? Do you, well, should we... Bill's got his hand up.
Yeah,
so let's go to you, Bill.
My recollection from Marina Del Rey is that we all felt that these services provided some utility, right? Whether it be from an individual, from a... Well, to be honest, I can't remember now. If I'm honest, my recollection is that proxy services provide better privacy, and privacy services do something that I am unfamiliar with. So they, if that's the case, they suffer from poor signage. But in essence, we said these are useful for individuals, right? The ability to protect information. They're also useful for corporate entities who are looking to secure a domain name but not advertise who they are, all right, who is behind the domain name until the service is launched, at which point, right, it switches over. So I from my perspective, it's like we agree these are useful, and then at the same time we were saying, and the current system, at least many of us were saying, and the current system is broken.
But I think that's right, that the current, we have to...
Sorry, Seth, can I just ask you to speak up a little more, both for the recording and...
Aha, okay. yeah, I'm concerned about we're mixing issues, because the concern regarding, from the commercial users, regarding the need for trade secrets, you know, is a very different issue than the privacy issues. And I think we need to keep those separate and in perspective, because one solution can't address both of them. What struck me when I did read the draft report on at all the various airports that I saw in the last 2 days, and it struck me that there seemed to be a consensus developing, and maybe I misunderstand that. But from the report, it seemed like the consensus was that there's a discrete need for a privacy service in which the domain name registrant is always available, but other things may not be. That's what I understood from the report, and that made some sense to me. And then that seems to address data privacy issues, and that would be limited to private persons, non-commercial. That seemed to emerge from the report, and I like that. And so one thing that I wanted to get as feedback from this group is, am I correct that's a developing consensus? And then the other aspect of the proxy is doesn't serve any of the needs that were identified as being important or legitimate needs, like the privacy needs, except for perhaps that trade secret need of the commercial users. And my feeling is whether that should be even a part of a discussion, because I'm not sure that level of proxy should be legitimized in a commercial service, that whether that should be just the subject matter for private contracts as it has been historically in any... In other words, that's, you know, hundreds of years ago, solicitors and notars in Italy were providing, you know, the straw man service, and by recognizing it and discussing it, we may be doing a disservice because we may be making it into something more than it should be. So I'm not sure I got that from the report. That was just an observation.
Thank you. Olaf?
Oh, just a brief intervention here. Mikhail Yakushev, he can actually hear us, and he says that I agree with Bill. I had the same understanding, so my attempt to channel him here.
Thank you very much. Bill?
Yeah, I was just going to respond that I think in large measure I agree, Seth. The problem is we have both currently. Is my understanding. We have both privacy and proxy services. So ignoring them may not be an option for us.
my suggestion is, well, first of all, I'm not suggesting we ignore privacy, because privacy seemed to come through as something that may be demanded by the structure, by the taking into consideration privacy laws in various countries, and the, you know, very clear interests. My suggestion is, by we shouldn't legitimize a proxy service that may have no place in the who is structure. I don't see anything in the who is structure that suggests that we need to recognize it. And I guess I have a concern that ICANN policies, the policies in the RAA, for example, may legitimize proxy, but should not. By immunizing by providing an immunity to a service if they notify their client swiftly, we're endorsing an arrangement in the proxy side that maybe we shouldn't be. So I guess that was, and those are my thoughts. That's not coming from the draft report.
I think if I can just sort of, my recollection of where we got to on this subject in Marina Del Rey was something like what you're describing, in that there was a recognition that with a proxy service, you've got somebody standing in the place of the registrant, and to the world at large, they are the registrant. And so they are taking on a level of liability that a privacy service does not do. And so that was the reason why we were thinking about them in a separate way. I'm not sure that we got as far as saying that, or that there's a consensus developing that the name only ought to be there in a privacy service. I know that there is a reference to that in the text. I'm not sure that that's been intensely discussed or agreed on. The issues, I think, sort of thinking back on the inputs that we got from the various groups that we've discussed this with over the last year, is that the real issues on proxy and privacy are release of data and the timeliness of release of data. That almost everybody we spoke to, even people you wouldn't expect to hold this view, were comfortable enough with the idea that there would be some sort of privacy service, but they point out there is no current policy whatsoever, that this has arisen out of a gap, but that the real what is actually gumming up the wheels here is there is no uniform process for releasing data. Under what circumstances, within what time frames. And I think that's the area where we should be really focusing our efforts to help, and just sort of orientating us again. We're not here to make the policy. We're not here even to provide the solutions, although that might seem a little bit useless. I think we can use it as a freedom, because we can say our job here is to review the policy and its the effectiveness of its implementation. Where it's not where there isn't a policy and the current situation is not effective, we say so, and we say, well, what do we expect to happen as a result of this? So we can go detailed or we can go high level on this. And you know, I'm just wondering whether we're now, having a month since our last meeting, whether we've got any further views on that. I've got Bill Wilfried, didn't you?
Yep. So from my perspective, the privacy and proxy services are in play. They are in the RAA. Okay? They are specifically mentioned, both privacy and proxy services. So we cannot we recognize, or we've heard that there are issues with them. The fact that they're in the agreement says that ICANN signs these agreements. ICANN understands that they exist, right? Yet there are no policies around these services. They are recognized players, but they have no obligations. they have less in the way of obligation than registrants do, and registrants are not contracted parties, right? There's nothing in that I can tell in these agreements that says, as Emily has pointed out, anything like an SLA for what they must do. Right? The only thing that's ever mentioned is the registrant has, you know, some number of days to respond to some certain requests. And but a privacy service has, they may not even have an obligation to relay the request.
So we recognize that as a problem, right? I mean, that's we can develop a consensus on that. That's a problem, which is the first step.
Well, from my perspective, right, all of the agreements and the policies around who is, okay, and domain name registration are set up with the understanding that there are registrants, registrars, and registries. And then there was a gap. A gap was recognized, and some services were created, and ICANN recognized those services as privacy and proxy services. Yet they're not part of the ecosystem. They recognize them, but they are completely outside of it. From my perspective, that is a problem. Okay? There is no way to tie them in contractually.
Well, there is if you attack it. But, I mean, they're being addressed informally now through the RIA, just like resellers. Isn't the same, is this similar development than resellers, that they just appeared and so policy had to address it, and it was addressed through the RIA?
And actually, I think that's something that sort of popped into my head as well, the journey over here was... Actually, the RAA deals very deftly with resellers because they just go, we don't care. It's up to you. You're the registrar. You deal with it. If there's a problem with a reseller, it's your fault. So that is an existing mechanism which has been used. It's very deft. It's very... it just sort of eliminates a whole load of buck passing. That's an interesting point. I'll add Wilfried wanting to.
Yeah, I'd like to follow up on your last statement, sort of the where is the end of the responsibility chain, and I would suggest that we do not go into as much detail as trying to recommend contractual relationships or timelines to disclose information or whatever it is. Because my feeling is that the different parties trying to get at the information will have substantially different expectations about timeline, quality, responsibility, and responsiveness. I'd rather suggest that we, in the report, we just recognize the fact that that these services are mentioned in the RAA, but the way they are implemented and used at this moment, at this point in time, is outside the architecture and expectations that were in place when the RAA, those texts were drafted. Because I'm pretty sure that everyone at that point in time was working along the line of thought and the expectations that those service providers would actually act as a one-to-one stand-in for the registrant. As it turns out in retrospect, it's developed into a different type of procedures, or sort of it's this whole thing is trying to stretch the policy because there are no boundaries given. So my proposal actually would be that we just recognize that as a fact stated and let other groups or other people deal with this. This can either be a policy development activity, like to amend the RAA, or this can be some sort of, I don't know, who would jump sort of on this open issue and try to plug the hole. But I don't see any responsibility for this team to go into any detail how to, other than stating the original assumption was that these parties would act one-to-one as a replacement for the registrant. As this is not the case, this is a problem, full stop. That would be sort of my approach to that. Or if you want to come up with a recommendation, then we could try to recommend that those parties and those services have to do exactly that, behave like a registrant. And if they don't do the right thing, whatever it is, they would be held liable or treated just as the registrant. Because in the end, to the outside world, that's what they are doing. They are sort of keeping their hands on this piece of namespace.
Lutz, and then Seth?
Did I understand correctly, Wilfried, that you propose only to mention the definition of the problem and keeping every other problems out of this the document? So all the questions, is it legitimate to ask a question to a privacy service, or what's the privacy service is for, is simply a definition in our document. Okay.
Seth?
Well, no, I understand, Wilfred, your concerns that we don't say too much, but I'm also concerned that we don't just repeat what everybody else knows. And I'd like to see if we can't move this area forward a little bit without making policy, and I guess that's been my suggestion. I'll go back to the distinction. I think privacy and proxy address very different things, and I see it as a step backwards for treating them together. I think your point about the service standing in the place of the actual domain name beneficiary, that works for one thing and not the other. The privacy to me is addressing these interests that are out there that everybody is talking about and concerned about. The proxy is more of a commercial thing I think it's important if we can to recognize that one thing is addressing important interests that are there that ICANN has to pay attention to, and the other thing may or may not be. So I think Bill?
Sure. So I'm not a lawyer, okay, but I have to read contracts all the time. I don't know how many times privacy is used in the RAA. Proxy is used 5 times. It is not a defined term. Neither is privacy. Okay. If nothing else, we need to point that out. Okay, because from the RAA, I cannot tell what either of those are. They're listed. You know, if you use these things, this stuff has to happen, that has to happen, but I don't know what they do. Your suggestion that privacy does one thing and proxy does another makes some sense, but I must admit, I'm sitting here saying, why couldn't a single type of service provide what's needed in both instances, both for individuals and for commercial interests? Why do I need to?
You need to because they serve different purposes.
That's not a reason to require two.
Well, I think if I can just pop in at this stage, I think that we need to. So where we're hovering around is Wilfried's proposal that we simply identify this as a problem and throw it back in some way and say, and so, well, are you saying that we don't even go as far as saying, and so you need to ... fill in the blanks with an appropriate PDP or contractual amendment? You want to stop at just identifying the problem, or?
I would not object against sort of suggesting ways forward, but I would be hesitant to give specific advice, because as I said, my feeling is that it's both an issue with terminology, as Bill has pointed out correctly, I think. So there is no common understanding in the community, nor in the registrant business in ICANN. Because nobody did expect these things to pop up and to happen and to and nobody knew how they would develop in real life. And that's so that's the issue where I would put the focus on, and tell the community and ICANN, well, this is an issue and you have to deal with it. And we can certainly try to come up with one or two suggestions how to deal with that. But I think it would be either the responsibility of the community to do some sort of policy development work, or maybe both of them, for the board of directors of ICANN, sort of to take that up as one of the items, and decide whether they want to amend the RAA. Or I have to admit that I don't know any details about policy development in the names world, like sort of whether it could be done top down or whether it has to be done bottom up or sort of horizontally, or I don't know. I'm just a numbers guy, so bear with me.
Well, thank you, Olaf. You've got something from Michael.
Additional input from Michael, and he says, I agree that we should limit ourselves to mention the problem, but I would rather mention as well that the practical issues are in liability / responsibility distribution.
I think that this is a useful line to explore further. The obvious drawback of the suggestion that you're making is that it looks like we're just sort of throwing it over the wall for someone else. And so the attractive side of it is, I think that we've kind of got in where we ended up in Marina Del Rey was sort of down a bit of a rabbit hole of, you know, endless more and more detail about how this new world that we were designing was going to work. And I think that we'd probably all sort of step back and go, hang on, that isn't really our role here. I would like to explore further the idea of what guidance would we give to help the community in trying to grapple with this. And one thing I was thinking as you were speaking, Seth, is yes, there are legitimate uses of these, and I think that those are recognised. There are also differences between the two services, and I think that we all would say we could probably explore those in a bit, but make those a bit clearer in the report itself and help in that way. One thing that we're all skirting around and not discussing is the abuse of Whois privacy and proxy, the suspicions that many in the community have that they are just actually a cloak for some bad actors within the industry to hide cyber squatting or other activity or criminal use. And so we do need to confront that. We need to explore that issue and peel back this is the good bits of it. This is the social utility, the way that it's helping to oil the wheels of these transactions online and addressing individuals' concerns or pre-launch commercial secrets. And this is also the unattractive side of it that is causing a problem. So another aspect which we've been hovering around just here is, what does the RAA say at the moment that might be able to help us? I think I splurged something out for the group of my brilliant thoughts on this. One approach would be to go, well, until there is a policy, let's go back to the contract. The proxy is the registrant, so deal with it. And the privacy on the face of it is inaccurate details, and so the whole registration becomes subject to cancellation according to the contractual regime. Is this what we want? Olaf?
Coming from Michael again. Yes, Emily. Thank you for telling exactly what I'm silent about.
Thank you. Oh, welcome, Kathy.
Yeah. So, just Emily, one of the things I think we need to remember, or the community needs to remember, is we're talking about the domain name system, okay? Not just a single registrant's rights, but, do all of the internet users have faith in the system? And if we have a system that allows, at least from my perspective,
willy-nilly registrations with incorrect or, you know, purposely obfuscated information, that causes concerns about the system itself. I lose faith in the system. And based on my read of the contract, right, these services are acknowledged, but there's nothing that in that contract that says these service providers must in fact do things that ensure that the system itself isn't damaged.
Yep. I think that's a very nice link to the consumer research that we've just had back. I don't know whether people have had a chance to get on top of that yet, but perhaps we can all just... I've had a quick flick through, and a lot of what you're saying seems to come through in the consumer study, in that whether or not they could ever describe who is or even perform a who is search and read the results, there are some basic building blocks of trust online, which I think come through very nicely in that study, in that people like to transact with people they know. I mean, who's surprised by any of this? People like to transact with people they know. They like to know how to contact people they're transacting with. And if they can't find out how to do that, their trust is eroded. So we've got some fairly... You know, that's what came through to me from it. I'm not sure whether... I've just sort of read it in a hurry. But so those are, you know, there are some interesting, there's some relevant issues here that are coming through on that consumer study that can help to guide us a bit on the way we handle privacy and proxy, perhaps. Kathy, would you like an update on what we're doing?
Yes, please. And again, apologies for joining you late. Okay. And do we have anybody on the phone coming in?
We've got Michael on the phone.
Oh, excellent. Hello, Michael.
And we're welcoming, just for Michael's benefit as well, we're welcoming a number of participants in the room as well who are here to listen. So this is an informal session. We're goal setting. And so while I'm just burbling on now, you maybe can think about your goals for these next few days. Alice has very kindly... done us a nice document which attempts to get to where we'd got on our recommendations by the end of Marina Del Rey, so that we don't have to spend hours trying to remember where we'd got to, which is good. And one of the things that we've just been doing to sort of prepare for our discussions is thinking about whether people have had any further thoughts on how to handle privacy and proxy services. I know that this is an issue quite close to your heart. And we've had a discussion, basically, if I can just sort of present my own summary of where we've got to on that, is a sense that we were all uncomfortable, and as I think you were, with a raft of detailed recommendations on privacy and proxy. We are conscious of not wanting to stray into policy creation. We're conscious that there are, I think this is a point you made, other studies going on at the moment, which we don't have the benefit of. However, we recognise that there's both a utility to these services and a problem in that they are abused, and there isn't a sort of a service level, that was Bill's phrase, about what people can expect on data release. And you know, if we were looking at so what's there at the moment, what's the default position with the lack of a policy? Well, the contract sort of the RAA talks about privacy proxy services without really going into what they are or the differences between them. We think we can do some helpful work in highlighting the differences between them, but you know, if you're reading the contract strictly, the proxy is the registrant and bears the liabilities of the registrant. The privacy on the face of it is if there's no relay, it's an inaccurate piece of address, if you like, of data. Is this the default position? Are people happy with that? Because that, you know, until there's a better one, that might be it. So I know that you'll have views. We're really just trying to orientate ourselves and see whether we've thought further. And maybe first, before going and plunging in, we could just think about what you'd like to... It's Monday night now. We finished all our meetings. Where are we in your perfect world?
It's it sounds like a good place to be. And I'm not going to speak to the recommendations now. I have to speak into the microphone. What a concept.
Just for the recording. I know it's silly. But
I just wanted to share my comments on reading the whole report and on reading the new sections, which is that I think we've really got something that's gelling now. And I've shared with Bill that I think the new executive summary is outstanding. Mm-hmm. It really is a very readable piece of material that's designed for the much broader audience than ICANN insiders that are interested in the WHOIS issue. So it's designed for law enforcement, it's designed for people interested in consumer trust, it's designed for the general public, which is, you know, an outstanding effort that I could never have done because I just speak in too many acronyms at this point. So I really like that. I really like Sharon Lemon's new piece on the domain name system and how it works with diagrams showing it. Two extremely valuable pieces. And before we even get to proxy and privacy recommendations, I think we have now have a number of recommendations on the policy front and on the compliance front. I mean, if I were to write the recommendations document, the number one recommendation would be find the policy. Yeah. Create one. Where is the, you know, create one place where the policy is, because I remember that was the first kind of recommendation we all agreed to. We realized when we kind of all submitted ours that that was coming up at the top of everyone's list. The second one would be about compliance efforts. The third one would probably be about communication efforts, whether it's communicating what the policy is, whether it's communicating about the results of the compliance efforts. So, I think we've got a number of recommendations coming in right off the top that are flowing very clearly from work that's been going on. And then ... we get to the proxy privacy issues that are really the kind of the nut of the problem, where so many different people have different perspectives on it. So it's interesting that the recommendations jump into the most difficult ones. But that's not a bad place to start, because it means that this is really at the top of this list is really what we're all thinking about. So
if I could first thank you for the compliment. The second thing I want to do is define the policy. That's superb. Okay, I had forgotten it. We're much too close to it. Yeah, but basically, to me, it argues for a strong message. I, from my perspective, of going back to ICANN and saying things around simplicity. Clarity, right? Communicate. Basically, make it clear, make it concise, and communicate it. Whatever it is, your policy. Boom, do that. For proxy privacy, right? It's in the contract, but there's no definition of the terms. I have no, as I said earlier, I don't know what they mean. Anybody reading them doesn't know what they mean. And in fact, basically, each and every time that they're used inside the contract, it's privacy or proxy. Okay, so they're used identically. There is no way to tell what the difference is from the contract. So to me, that would be one of the things we might want to go back when we get to privacy and proxy is you need to if you're going to have these things, it needs to be defined, right? What are they doing? And then again, clearly, concisely state it and communicate it and make it obvious. I haven't looked here, but I suspect there's nothing about relay and reveal in the RAA, right? And it won't be defined anywhere.
There's not, and there really should be. There's not.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's used all the time in discussion, but as a newcomer, I have no idea how to figure out what it means.
So
and as a consequence, it actually gets used differently by different people.
Of course, that's right.
I think we may be heading in quite a useful direction here, because if we take Wilfried's minimalist approach, but, on the basis that we are trying to be helpful rather than just shirk our duties, and we're trying to actually provide some guidance, we could be saying our expectation is that there will be a policy on, I know we're delving into the detail, on privacy and proxy, and that it will deal with issues like reveal and relay, that it will set expectations and provide a mechanism for what happens if the expectations aren't met. What's the fallback position when people aren't doing their job? You know, that might just give us the sort of, you know, we don't want 3 pages of 25 resolutions on privacy and proxy that people are going to go, well, that's totally unworkable.
Wilfried, and then Oliver. The longer I'm listening to this really helpful discussion here, the more I get the feeling that there is no contradiction in my recommendation as opposed to any other ones. My feeling is that sort of my limited approach would rather be like the first required step, which is within the mandate of this team. And then we can build on top of that and can go ahead and say, okay, this is what the expectations are and this is what the final result probably should be. And we can most probably, as you suggested, even maybe come up with one or two suggestions how to attack the problem. So I don't see any sort of friction or any clash of between those two proposals.
Mind you, sort we haven't got everyone
my,
here.
My core point actually is sort of that we point out and if we can agree on that we point out formally as part of the result of this review team that there is a problem and what the problem is as we see it, and then we take it from there and say, okay, our understanding is that this was the set of expectations, this is what probably in the future we want to have, and this is how we can make progress, or the board can make progress, or the policy development process can make progress, or maybe both of them are doing parts of that. So I'm fine.
Thank you. Olaf?
This is from Michael again. So let's add something that there is no consensus on even how it all should be defined, and it is advisable to remove the ambiguity. Emily's minimalistic approach is okay. End of message.
I think the plan that I've heard is to explain there is a problem, educate, try to define, but don't make too many recommendations. And I think, you know, what Bill's saying, if we can explain the problem well, if we can try to attack the terminology, I think we can advance the subject that way. I mean, I would be satisfied if we somehow advanced it beyond, you know, what we've heard. And we've heard a lot from a lot of different communities. And so I think maybe that would be a good way to advance the topic.
Kathy, can I come to you and get a sense of your reaction to what you're hearing?
I wanted to capture what you said and write it. Let me see if I got it, because I thought it was excellent, that we really need to define the terms, define the expectations, and set out consequences if the expectations aren't met. Does that sound like a good summary of what, and specifically in the proxy privacy, does that sound like a good summary of what Emily said?
I like it. I'm just wondering whether we are interfering or being disconnected from what I can thought or maybe is still thinking when they reference these words in the RAA. I'm not objecting, I'm just wondering sort of are we opening a potential gap without trying to double check with them whether our definition or our recommendation would be compatible with their interpretation. Can we just do that without worrying?
If we can't tell what it means by reading the RAA, that is a gap. And that is what we're here to do, is to recognize that there's a problem because you can't tell when reading the RAA. And different people will take it to mean different things.
Sorry, Kathy. Also, if somebody understands this stuff and hasn't told us, why did they let us suffer so much? I think they deserve it. Kathy.
But also we have been working off of some general definitions that came out of work, at least when I was sharing them, they came out of work on the 4 GNSO WHOIS studies. that have now been funded and taking place. So we can go back to those, because there was actually some exploration then of what do these terms mean. So there may be some diversity in the field, but we found some general definitions that we were working with because... and it may be worth going back to those documents and just lifting the terms because I think they may be defined there. And we've got our next meeting where we go out and say, you know, these are our recommendations. Do they make sense? And, you know, are we using terms you agree with? So there'll be one more time to circle back to ask the question Wilfried just raised.
Thank you very much. Have we got as far as we're usefully going to get in our exploration of these issues, given our small group on the proxy privacy? Because, Kathy, did you?
I'm just diving into all of it.
No, Bill.
I'm just wondering. I mean, maybe we want to do the use Kathy's suggestion. Start with the simplest of recommendations. Find or write your privacy. You know, your who is policy. It's as simple as that, right? That's number one, and then we could go on to some others, and maybe we could get an outline for what we think are the important recommendations.
I think
that would be useful for tomorrow.
That would be very useful for tomorrow, because we've got sort of about, you counted them up, there's about 75 draft recommendations at the moment. I think that's way too many, and we've probably forgotten what a lot of them are. So something that we could usefully do is go back to the long document and just identify the areas where we want to make recommendations, and also get a feel for, like, there's going to be a sweet spot of the number of recommendations that is going to be effective, because what we do want is the recommendations to be accepted, acceptable, and implemented. And if we have 75, we are not helping ourselves. So thoughts on that?
5 ± 2. Seriously, I mean, when AT&T did phone numbers, when they expanded beyond the original, it's got to be the research they did. Humans can remember 5 things, occasionally, you know, up to 2 more, so 7-digit numbers, but even better, 3.
And, of course, in our world, humans can't remember IP addresses, so we created these crazy things called domain names. Let me throw out a suggestion and see if it makes any sense. When I was looking through the detailed recommendations, both on this beautiful color-coded news sheet that Alice created, which is great, as well as some of the older papers that we have, everything seemed to be gelling into several types of categories. And I was wondering if we wanted to, you know, if we're going for 5, you know, a few big picture recommendations, whether we use, I would hate to lose some of the great detail, especially some of the compliance detail of, you know, studies are being done, the following studies are being done, but the results aren't being recorded or shared, et cetera. So maybe that's what the report can go into, is additional findings and sharing, so that those people who have to implement, who are seeking now to implement our recommendations, have some of, you know, the benefit of the guidance of what the compliance group did, what the policy group did.
So you're suggesting that we, in a way, we hive off a lot of what's currently recommendations into findings or something, so that it's there for people like the compliance team, if it can help them, help to guide them. But actually we go for trying to get the target of having at least a few categories of recommendations which are our headlines. Is that
exactly, or even put a few more teeth into it, more than findings, you know, correction, you know, things in order to implement our recommendation. Steps would include the following.
Okay. Yeah, comfort with that.
Yeah, if we could do that today, that'd be great. I mean, you know, if we find a way to distill it was roughly 75 that I saw. That was the highest number I saw. And distill those into 10 groups, 5 groups, whatever, some reasonable number that are digestible by us as a collection. Right.
Let's see what they look like.
Yeah.
So I've got to think that.
I mean, let's aim for 5 and see what it looks like. I had in mind maybe two sets that, you know, the five key ones that were most important and we had the strongest consensus, then maybe a second set. I don't know. Maybe the second set won't be necessary once we see what they look like.
Let's go for some headings. Alice and Olaf a terrible question, which is if we go back into brainstorming mode, we need pieces of paper. Just for the audience, sometimes we have great big tablets, which it's become a joke that we have them and we tape them up on the wall and we do our work that way.
So if we took a break and had a coffee, then we could investigate whether we have any of the stuff. Okay, should we have a quick break and come back in 15 minutes?